Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The San Antonio Water System is working on a plan or several plans to keep San Antonio in water for the next generation, a generation that looks like it's going to be pretty dry. After studying the issue, the utility is coming out in favor of expanding a proposed desal plant to accommodate the city's future needs. This is instead of several plans that would have seen San Antonio piping in water from other parts of the state. Some of these areas are actually suffering from the drought. So we're seeing a lot of public pressure on SAWS. They're trying to figure out how to what best mix of fresh water to bring to San Antonio to come up with to keep San Antonio operational and vital and robust in the future. Joining us to talk about that right now is Greg Flores, a spokesperson for SAWS. We invite your calls. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. If you've got a take on whether or not San Antonio should be more aggressive and go after that water in Valverde County around Del Rio, or if you think desal is the way to go for San Antonio's future. And welcome to The Source, Greg Flores.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
So tell us where we are right now in the decision-making process on what we're going to be doing for water in the future.
Well, yesterday during a board workshop, we recommended to our board that SAWS expand its desalination program and actually produce and treat more water from right under our feet here in Bexar County and perhaps some of the neighboring counties or some of the adjacent counties to our south, where we have just an abundance of salty water that can be treated and brought into San Antonio for potable uses.
So that's where things look the richest for SAWS. Go after the desal. And, of course, we have spoken earlier in previous times about trying to bring in water. There's a plan from Valverde County to bring in some water from that area.
Yes, we actually had requested proposals from around the state to private developers who thought they might be able to bring water to San Antonio. And we received 9 proposals and narrowed those 9 proposals down to 3 finalists, the one from Valverde County being one of those proposals. But what we found was that the highest-ranked proposal, which was actually from Burleson County, was deemed too risky. And the reason it was too risky was because we, as San Antonio ratepayers, would have been required to make payments for that water even if it was not delivered to San Antonio. The prospect that that water might be cut off or curtailed by the groundwater district that regulates the pumping from that source aquifer up in Burleson County was just too high, and we felt that we couldn't take that risk on behalf of our ratepayers.
There was a lot of concern from folks along the Rio Grande worried about what could happen to their watershed if SAWS suddenly is able to pump out all this water from that area and ship it to San Antonio. And there was they were looking for anything that they could do to try and stop that. Was that public pressure as it mounted? Was it something that SAWS it made you guys think twice about this?
We certainly did listen to that input from Valverde County, Del Rio, and even south of there, all the way down to Laredo. You know, we received a letter even from Congressman Henry Cuellar. So that kind of feedback and input that we received was part of the analysis. And in particular, when we heard about the potential for endangered species lawsuits or the formation of a groundwater conservation district that might regulate the pumping of water from that area, all of that went into account in our determination that that desal was the way to go.
Ratepayers, big part of the equation?
Yes, absolutely. Ratepayers were a big part of the equation. You know, the highest ranked project of these 3 proposals would have resulted in or would have required a 12% rate increase in 2019. And our choice was to look at desal as an alternative because desal can be phased in over time, and therefore you can spread that cost out and spread the rate impact to our ratepayers out over time as well.
or you want to get callers in on the conversation, phone lines are open, and the number is 614-8980, 614-8980. If you've got a question about San Antonio's future water needs and these plans that are being kicked about, we want to hear from you. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. I did get one email from a Tim Duddith. He is a hydrologist, he says, and he says it's great that SAWS is considering desalinization of local water supplies instead of taking water from others. However, they will be tempted to do the easy thing and pump water from the bad water zone of the Edwards Aquifer, but that would be a mistake. The bad water zone and the good water zone are connected. It's all one aquifer. Is that the plan? Because I also hear y'all are looking at the Trinity Aquifer. Is that right? Or the Cadizo.
Yes. The plan is not to pump from the Edwards Aquifer and not from the Edwards Aquifer saltwater zone. We are pumping from the Wilcox Aquifer, which is located in southern Bexar County, and it's actually an aquifer that that is spread across multi-states. It runs from Mexico all the way into the Midwest of the U.S. This Wilcox Aquifer is a salty aquifer that is beneath the Carrizo Aquifer, from which we also pump fresh water. The two aquifers, in particular in Wilson County, are separated by 200 or 300 feet of shale and clay that is called an aquitard. And so we would be going down deeper and past the freshwater of the Carrizo Aquifer into this Wilcox Aquifer. We're not contemplating going into the saltwater zone of the Edwards.
All right, let's get some of our callers on the air. Judy has called in. Judy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I think that SAWS is got an intelligent group of people and they do a lot of research. I have a lot of confidence in what the decisions that SAWS makes. However, I think that what I've seen in the last 10 years is the deforestation, or if you will, of the trees along I-10 and out towards the west of San Antonio and other places where we're building further and further out into the county instead of looking into places we can build high-density housing where things are maybe declined. Like they're redoing the Pearl and they put high-density in those areas instead of spreading San Antonio out further and taking away the places where the water will, you know, go into the aquifer. They're putting apartment complexes in.
Right, so you're concerned about building over the recharge zone.
Yeah, I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about not limiting the population to a certain extent. You know, like,
well, that's beyond anyone's ability to regulate that type of thing.
Well, I think they could regulate the high density housing that gets built. But you know, the other thing that I don't know enough about how far they go down below the desal, you know, to get this water. I know that they're talking about not pumping water from, you know, the Gulf of Mexico, but bringing it down from where it's below the ground here in San Antonio in this area.
Exactly.
With the people putting chemicals to frack south of here, you know, I'd like more information about how is that going to be safe.
Judy, that's a great question. I have to take this break. Thanks for calling in. I'm going to have Greg Flotis from SAWS address that when we come back from the break. We're talking about San Antonio Water System and their plans that they're kicking around for San Antonio future water needs. There were two big plans being talked about right now. One of them is the desal plant that they're working with CPS Energy with now. And also, they're kind of shelving another plan to bring in water from other parts of Texas. We'll see what's happening. We want your calls. The number is 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about San Antonio water plans, and there's some proposals to bring in more water for the system in the coming years because we're growing and it's getting dry. We just need more access to water. That's just a simple fact. Greg Flotis, spokesperson for SAWS, joins us. And Greg, before we went to the break, a question was about what about all that fracking? Is there going to be some sort of a mix-up there? We're going to bring up that fracking water instead?
Well, first, Judy, we appreciate the confidence and the trust that you have in SAWS, and certainly most people don't realize how much work goes into bringing water to your tap and then taking it away out of your home once it exits your drain. So we certainly appreciate that trust and confidence. The fracking that's going on in South Texas is right now it's too far removed to have any impact on our current water supplies, and of course it's also downhill, if you will, lower gradient towards the Gulf. So I think it would be difficult for that to any impact down there to migrate uphill towards San Antonio. And of course, that's all needs to be explored scientifically. But we're confident that the fracking activity is occurring far enough away to not have an impact on our current water supplies.
All right, another caller to get on this. Bill has called in. Bill, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, yes, thank you. A couple of real fast questions. I'm curious as to what will be, if this goes through, what will be filtered out from the water? Will it be minerals primarily, other sediment, things like that? And then what would happen with that byproduct from that filtration? And then is there possibly an aftermarket use or a market use for that byproduct? Okay, like maybe for gardening or agricultural use or something like that. And then my fourth question is, will that end product, which is the water, will that be softer than the hard water that we kind of get from the Edwards? And will that be blended with our Edwards source, thereby maybe creating a less hard water product?
Okay, Bill, thanks for those questions. Greg?
Yeah, a lot of great questions there. To start with, the constituents that are in that water really are, as you mentioned, minerals and salt. And the great thing is that that water is not as salty as ocean water, for example. In fact, it's about 30 times less salty. So it makes it less costly to have to treat that water than if we were desalinating water down at the coast. The byproduct is a brine that we plan on disposing through deep well injection. We're going to inject that water down even deeper into a more salty aquifer where the water quality of that aquifer actually would be improved, because we're going to take that brine, which is not as salty as the aquifer water it's being put into, and inject it down into that aquifer. There are a lot of aftermarket uses for this type of byproduct, and we are also exploring what those uses might be and whether or not there are partnerships available to us that we can take advantage of to utilize some of that byproduct. So that's always a possibility. And, of course, the water quality is going to be such that we're going to match it to what Edwards water is. We don't want it to be softer than Edwards water, because the hardness of our water has actually benefited our water system and the pipes in that system, because it kind of creates a coating, if you will, inside the pipes. If we were to make that water softer, that coating would actually be leached from the pipes, and we don't want that getting into the water system. So the water quality is going to match what it is that Edwards' chemical consistency is, so that nobody can taste or smell a difference from what they're actually receiving now.
Yeah, I think everyone is familiar with that coating. We've seen that inside our washing machines over the years. So we got one email from Gary. Much of the discussion about energy, like this with energy, is how do we get more instead of how can we use less? Between fracking and lawns, the waste is out of control. Wasters need to pay more. Greg?
Well, that's a great question, and that actually is our philosophy at SAWS. We have a business philosophy where we ask our customers to actually buy less of our product, if you can imagine. Our rates are tiered so that the more you use, the higher the rate is for those incremental levels of usage. So if you're using, for example, over 17,000 gallons a month, you're going to pay a very, very high rate for that water use above that amount. That is designed to discourage water use, especially on outside lawns, in a way that sends a price signal to those customers. And I will congratulate San Antonio, as I do every time I come on your show, Dave. We have in San Antonio the best water conservation in the nation. We have reduced our per capita water use by over 30% in the last 25 years. So each person is using less water than we were 25 years ago by 30%. And that really helps to stretch that resource out into the future so that we don't have to go out and pursue these more expensive supplies as quickly as we might otherwise need to.
So the new plan involves working with CPS Energy to build side-by-side facilities. How is that going to be a benefit? How will that work?
Well, we are exploring that partnership right now with CPS Energy. We're very excited about
– And it's great that both of y'all are owned by the city of San Antonio, so it does that help?
Yeah, that's a tremendous help. I mean, we're sister agencies. We're both owned by the city, and the ratepayers own us. And so by working together, we think we can realize some cost savings and synergies by co-locating the power plant, the natural gas power plant, with the desal plant. So what you'd have is the power plant generating the power to make the desal plant work. The desal plant would produce the water that would cool the power plant. And so working together, we'd be able to send water and power into the city, and I think it's also beneficial on the CPS side because they're able to use that power in non-peak times to help the city produce water, and during peak times, then you've got this extra power plant available that we can ramp down the operation of the desal plant in order to be able to put more energy into the city when it's needed during peak times. So it's a great partnership. I think it will result in a lot of cost savings overall for this community. And, of course, the revenue generated by both SAWS and CPS, a portion of that goes to the city, which would help, augment other city services that the city provides.
Well, the energy situation is curious because it is going to take power to do the desal. And we never know what we're going to pay for power. Right now, natural gas is not too expensive, but who's know what the future holds?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, we're very fortunate here in San Antonio that we've got two municipally owned utilities like SAWS and CPS Energy. Our focus as independent agencies is to bring the lowest possible cost service to the ratepayers of San Antonio, and I think if you compare utility rates and water rates, sewer rates to the other major cities in Texas, you would find that the lowest rates and the lowest bills are right here in San Antonio. So if you lived in any other major city in Texas, you'd be paying more for those basic services.
So is this a long-term solution? Is this something that can just continue for generations to come?
It is what we view to be a long-term solution. It's certainly not without its risks. We do have to secure the permits to pump this brackish water from our neighbors, the groundwater district that regulates that area. We do have to deal with that regulatory authority.
So do you think there's going to be more competition for that brackish water?
Well, I think what folks are realizing more and more is that brackish water is untapped. It's currently unused, and it can become a solution for the state that not only provides additional water resources, but it protects the freshwater that is being used by local communities, particularly in rural areas. So by gaining access to brackish water and being able to treat it, it is something that not only benefits the large urban areas, but it benefits those outlying areas because it protects the need for going and pumping the fresh water that's located out in those areas.
So is San Antonio, or do we have a seat at the table for whatever the Wilcox controlling authority is?
No, we don't have a seat at that table. That board is locally elected by individuals who reside in the outlying counties. But we've worked with the Evergreen District in the past. We currently have a very good working relationship with them. We have made a commitment to that community that we will run our desal plant for 5 years to demonstrate the science and demonstrate that the technology is viable and that it will not harm freshwater supplies in that area. And we're going to stick to that commitment. We're talking about long term. We're talking about the next decade before we start expanding brackish desal production,
right? But not being a part of that controlling body, that governmental body, they could one day decide, well, San Antonio, we need that brackish water now. We're going to cut you off, right?
Well, you know, I think if that were to ever happen in the future, the solution is, hey, can we participate in this project? If there's desal plants that are already built and producing water, then that becomes a regional resource, and we're more than happy and open to working with other communities to participate jointly in developing this water resource for everyone's benefit.
All right. Well, that is, you know, the future, who knows, but I guess we're trying to keep as many options open as we can, talking, making sure that San Antonio never has a crisis of supply for water. I want to thank you, Greg Flores, for joining us, a spokesperson for San Antonio Water System, talking about future options for our water use, comparing the plan to pump up brackish water from the Wilcox Aquifer and then using desal plants to purify that water and then pump the effluent, the wastewater, back underground as opposed to pumping water from across other parts of the state. Thanks for joining us, Greg.
Thanks for having us. We really appreciate it, Dave.
And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for joining us.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.